McGee. So Ecclesiastes 7. Okay, it's an interesting book, the book of Ecclesiastes, isn't it? Full of interesting statements and comments. But we're diving again into Ecclesiastes chapters 7 and 8, particularly chapter 7 this morning. And I encourage you, if you've got your Bibles there, to read along. If you're watching online, grab your Bible, open up the Bible tab at the top of the screen there as we come to this all-important passage this morning. I've done a lot of prayer this morning. Let me just pray again for us as we come to this time now. Well, Father, I very much believe that you have a word for us here today, each and every one of us. A word to continue and a word to remind us of the importance of continuing to pursue you in all that we do. To put you first, to fear you, to come before you with our very lives, every second of every day, in order that you may speak to us and use us for your kingdom and your glory. And Father, as we come now to dive into wisdom, your wisdom, godly wisdom, I pray that you would give me wisdom and insight in order to speak on your behalf in many ways, or speak, allow you to speak in and through me today, Father God, in order that our lives may be changed and transformed. But Father Lord, as we come, Father God, as we come now to this chapter in Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, I again ask that you would move in and through us by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1916, a long time ago now, there was a famous poet by the name of Robert Frost. And Robert Frost penned a poem that to this day is one of his most famous works. You may have heard of this before, I'm not sure, but the poem is titled The Road Not Taken. And the point of this poem is to outline the reality that you and I in life have two choices to make, or two paths that we can choose from. And inevitably, many of us have chosen the wrong path in life. And so this poem speaks of the desire for many of us to go back to where we made that first decision and have the wisdom to choose the right path once again. Some of us, some have said that this is one of the most misunderstood poems, claiming that it's not simply a poem that champions the idea of following your own path, but rather it suggests and expresses the irony of having such a thought and idea. The New York Times book review on a book about Robert Frost's life says, whichever way they go, they're sure to miss something good on the other path. Again, it's a very famous poem. I'm not sure if you've heard it before. Don't worry if you haven't. Here's a little clip about with someone reciting this poem, The Road Not Taken.
Pearls of Wisdom, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in the yellow wood. I'm sorry I could not travel both, and me one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was crossy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there, had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference.
The short, sweet poem, The Road Not Taken. Anyone heard that poem before? No? You have, Raphael? Very cool. Beautiful poem, isn't it? Very short, succinct, but a very deep and meaningful message behind it. The way in which it came about, actually, was a funny story. It was a result of Robert Frost's friend struggling to know which path to take in life. And he so often regretted the decisions he made. And the speaker in the poem, faced with a choice between two roads, takes the road less travelled. A decision which he or she supposes, again, makes all the difference. But that is the reality of life, isn't it? So often we're confronted with decisions to make, situations in our way, and we make the wrong one time and time again. So often in life we wish that we could go back in time and make the right choice or make the wise choice. Anyone had that experience before? I know I have. Many of us, no doubt, are in that boat here today. Even this week, no doubt you made this decision where you're like, oh, I wish I could just go back and have the wisdom to know which path to take. There are no doubt decisions, again, that we look back upon and wish we had made a different decision. Whether that may be reacting to someone negatively, responding inappropriately. Maybe you've chosen a career path that you thought, maybe if I chose differently, things would have worked out a bit differently as well. We've all made decisions that we wish we could go back and make all over again. And there are plenty of decisions, again, I've made in my life that I wish I could just go back and redo that. If only we had the benefit of hindsight and wisdom. It is true, though, that we do learn from our mistakes. We should ultimately grow from the mistakes or the paths that we take if we get it wrong. That's what the wise do, amen? The foolish keep making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, but the wise, they learn from their mistakes. And this is ultimately the theme of this chapter. Wisdom is better than folly. Wisdom is better than folly. In particular, when it comes to sin. Jesus likens you and I, or humanity, when we continue to sin, as like a dog returning to its vomit. Such is the vile nature and the reality of sin in our lives. But that's the point, is that we have all made decisions in our life that we regret at some point or another. We've all made decisions that we wish we could go back in time and have over again. And this is, again, King Solomon's pursuit in life. His pursuit for meaning and purpose, particularly in this chapter, he asks the question, is life all about attaining this wisdom so that we don't make the same decisions or the wrong decisions? Is life all about attaining wisdom so that we make these decisions that have lasting ramifications? When Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and 8, again, our writer sets his sights on wisdom and considers that maybe life, again, is all about being wise and making the right decisions in life. Similarly to what Robert Frost is referring to in his poem, King Solomon too is on a journey, an intellectual journey, some might say, to discover meaning and purpose, to discover the mysteries of life, and to ultimately discover this through wisdom. This is what he says in verse 25. So I turned my mind to understand, to investigate and to search out wisdom and the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. Solomon turned to wisdom to help him understand some of the complexities of life. The questions and complexities of life, the uncertainties of life that you and I still struggle with here today. Again, as he says earlier in the book, nothing has changed under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. The questions, the complexities, the uncertainties of life people had back then, very much the same to what we wrestle with here today. But what exactly is wisdom? What does it look like to Solomon? What does it look like for the Bible? Well, first and foremost, we must make the distinction that wisdom is greater than just having information. Amen. Wisdom is more than just information. It's not information. The reality is we are very much drowning in information here today, aren't we? When you look at it, we have information overload, podcasts, YouTube, Wikipedia, Google. I don't think there's ever been a time in history when there's been so much information available to us at our fingertips. We must make the distinction and realize that just because humanity has figured out how to switch on a light by voice recognition or ask what the weather is going to be today, that doesn't make us wise. I came across this image on the internet not long ago, and I think it puts it in perspective for us. I'll get out of the way so people online can see, but I'll give you a moment just to grasp that. To look at that, it's actually poking a bit of fun at conspiracy theories. Put that to one side for a moment. I just love how it maps it out. The difference between data, information, knowledge, insight, and wisdom. Because you see, information is different to knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to make distinctions and understand how information marries up, how it all comes together. Whereas insight is understanding the path to take. Wisdom is all about how you navigate through life. Choosing that path and making the right decisions as you continue along that path. That's how I understand that image. That's how I understand the distinction between information, knowledge, insight, and wisdom. Ultimately, we can say that wisdom, and this is my first point this morning, wisdom is discerning what is better and applying it to our life. Wisdom is all about discerning what is better, and not just discerning it. This is the key, right? It's not just about discerning and understanding what is the better way of life to live, but applying it to our lives. When you look at Solomon's life, he was a wise man, yet he made some terrible decisions. My guess is that he knew what was right from wrong. He knew what to do, but he chose the other path because it was more pleasurable. How often do we do that in our lives? I guess some of us know the decision we need to make, but we think, oh, this is a bit nicer, this feels a bit better, I'll take this road instead. Again, this is the key of Solomon's writings. We see it through the book of Ecclesiastes. This is better, that is better, this is better than that. Wisdom is all about knowing what is better, discerning and understanding what is better, then applying that to our lives. Here are some of the things that he says in verses 1 to 5. Read along with me, it won't be on your screen. He says in verse 1, a good name is better than a fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed and the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. So without going into each and every one of these, I again encourage you to read this chapter 7 and 8 during your week. Dive in, meditate upon these truths, these aspects of wisdom, what is better, and seek to apply it to our lives, digest them. But without going to each and every one of them, we can see evidently that there is a better way to live. Amen. Wisdom teaches us and reveals to us that there is a better path that we can be taking. And generally there are two paths to take. The wise take the better path. And what we can attain from this chapter is that wisdom is good for a lot of things. Wisdom is good for a lot of things. First and foremost, Solomon says, the honor of character and virtue is more valuable than all the wealth and pleasures in the world. It's better to have a good name, he says, than fine perfume. But again, the reality is, if we are to live a life of virtue and character, to attain a good name requires wisdom. Amen? It requires wisdom, and wisdom that only God our Father can give us. The giver of all good gifts. For me, wisdom very much sits alongside holiness, goodness, and faithfulness to God. And if we cast our eyes back upon Scripture, we actually see that this is also something that Jesus celebrated in his life. He celebrated the importance of a good name, living a life of character and virtue. We actually see in the book of Matthew that Jesus celebrates and praises his own mother, Mary, for living this way of life out, for attaining a good name, for living a life. She was a woman of virtue and character. Jesus praised her for this, celebrated that reality. And then ultimately, if we have lived this way, Solomon says, if we have attained a good name, the day of our death, which will put an end to all our cares, our toils, our sorrows, which he's talked about previously, this will be a good day. Because it will bring us ultimately into a state of eternal satisfaction and joy. Amen. That's ultimately what we're yearning for, what we're heading towards. This is better than the day of our birth. Once again, it's one thing to know all these truths, it's another thing to apply them to our lives. It is again good to have wisdom, for it ultimately allows us to navigate through life, Solomon says. Verse 11 again, wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. Wisdom is good, but it's good if you have money as well, is what he's saying. Wisdom is good for both the poor, but also the wealthy. Why is it good for the wealthy? Because ultimately, if they have wisdom, if they are wise, if they are godly, they will use that wealth and those riches to further the kingdom of God. They will use that wealth and those riches for a good purpose, for a greater purpose. They will use those riches and money to bless people, to serve people. For us living in the West, Sydney, Australia, to be specific, we are wealthy, amen? Compared to the majority of the world, we are very, very wealthy. If you own your own car, you're in the top 2-3% of the world's wealth. Are you using your wealth to further the kingdom of God? Are you using your riches and your material possessions to serve others, to bless others, to offer your home as a house of hospitality, a house of opportunity to share the kingdom with others? We have a lot of people in this world who have a lot of money but lack wisdom, don't we? A lot of people that have a lot of money that lack wisdom. A lot of people that just spend it until they are broke and bankrupt. These are people that lack wisdom. And this is Solomon's argument. What's the point of even having that much money if you're just going to spend it and waste it for no good? Spend it on yourselves. It is a shelter to us. Not only this, but wisdom contributes to our safety, Solomon says. He says it's a shelter to us from the storms of life and allows us to navigate through trouble and hardship. Now, this has been something I've experienced in my life, particularly when it comes to trouble and hardship, relational trouble and hardship, to be precise. I remember this situation with a person I knew that that is something that I felt was the wrong thing towards me. It upset me. It hurt me. I was frustrated by this action of this individual. But I brought it before God. And thankfully, he gave me the wisdom to forgive this person. Not only that, he gave me the insight to realize why this person had reacted the way they have. This is going back a number of years, but in that moment, I realized the importance of bringing these things before God, because you know what? I wouldn't have been able to react the way I did to this person or respond without bringing this before God, who blessed me with wisdom. Again, this is what Solomon is talking about. There is so much that wisdom is good for in life. So much that we can apply wisdom to our lives in order to take the right path, to take or make the right choices. But the question becomes, how do we attain it? How do we get it? How do we become wise? Well, elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, Solomon, who also wrote the book of Proverbs, the majority of it, he says this in chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So if you ask the question, how do we attain wisdom? How do we become wise? Wisdom is attained through reverence for God and also love. First and foremost, reverence. Fear of the Lord. It's a healthy fear. It's a good fear. Ultimately, wisdom is understanding this world and everything in it through the lens and the eyes of God. the lens and the eyes of his kingdom. Wisdom makes the world and every decision in it, every action, clearer for us. And again, this is what we see exemplified in the person of Christ, amen. This is what we see in Jesus' life, his teachings, everything that he did, and his sole purpose was to encourage his disciples, those who were his followers, to look at his way of life and then apply it to their own lives. Again, Jesus is the smartest person that ever walked this earth, the wisest person that ever walked this earth. We would do no better than to look at his way of life and to apply it to our own. He was a wise man, the smartest man, if you believe that he was truly the Son of God. So wisdom is attained through reverence, fearing the Lord. It's also attained through love. Have a look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of the Father." And if wisdom is knowing and discerning what is better, then what Paul is saying here is that it is attained through love. Wisdom comes out of this state of love to discern what is best. Love comes out of this state of humility, this state of wanting to serve, humble submission to God and others. Again, Christ gave us this example. It's through fear of the Lord, and it's through loving God and others, that God then blesses us by the power of his Holy Spirit with wisdom from on high. True wisdom. Godly wisdom. The decision we then have is to apply that to our lives, or to choose the other way, the other path. This is how we attain wisdom. This is what it looks like. Love may be out more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, what is better, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. It's attained through fear of the Lord, reverence, and love. But if we jump back to Solomon now, as we look at his pursuit for meaning and purpose in life, in all his search for wisdom, which he firmly believes would help him understand the complexities, the uncertainties, the deep questions in life, in the end, Solomon discovers that there's actually a limit to what wisdom could reveal about life under the sun. There was a limit to what wisdom could reveal about life in this world. He says in verse 23, "I was determined to be wise, but this was beyond me. It was beyond my grasp." Whatever happens in this life, the deep questions that we have, the uncertainties about life that we have, the reality is they are beyond our grasp. Amen. This is something else that Solomon speaks about. We're not really going to truly understand them. These questions sometimes won't be answered, like death of the loved ones, or why this happened, or why that happened. But ultimately, the conclusion that Solomon comes to, that I encourage us to take note of here today, is that life is not about knowing the answers. Amen. Life is not about knowing the answers, but living for the one who does. It takes a great deal of humility to come to this place again, doesn't it? To realize that you will not know all the answers. So don't pretend to. We will not know all the answers, but our sole purpose in life should be about living for the one who does. That is then when you receive wisdom, that you are blessed with wisdom. Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Ultimately, Robert Frost was onto something when he said, "I took the road less traveled, and that made all the difference." Our natural inclination, I don't know if you realize this, is to take the way of the world, the way of the unwise, the way of the foolish. This is the way that everyone pursues. That's where our sinful nature takes us. And as we read along, Solomon is clearly aggrieved for the times that he has done this, regretful of the decision he's made in his life. Actually, we are to take the road less chosen. Amen. For by taking this road and choosing this road every second of every day, and every decision we make, and every situation we face, the reality is it will make all the difference. Life, meaning, purpose is not about pursuing wisdom in itself. It is about pursuing and pleasing God, our Father, who is the giver of all true wisdom. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we would strive for godliness. That we would continue every second of every day to fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, because we know that when we model our life on yours, when we fix our eyes on you, our lives continually start to evolve, start to transform. And what we start to realize is that we too are starting to pursue righteousness and holiness. But Father, we realize that we do stumble across the way. We do have times where we stumble and we make the right wrong choices. But we thank you for your word where it says that there is no condemnation for those who are in you. Lord, you just pick us right back up again as we turn to you and you send us on our way to continue that pursuit. And so, Lord, I pray for each of you and every one of us here today, our church, on site and online, that you will continue to harvest within us a heart for purity, a heart to serve you, a heart to pursue you, because we know when we do that, you will make us wise. We thank you, Lord, for this time again. We pray your blessing upon us continually as we seek you with all our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.